I've got something here actually for our science segment today. I actually had one of our listeners sent in a question about a passage in Psalm 148. But our question this week is Psalm 148, verse 4. The Bible says, "Praise him, ye heavens of heavens, and ye waters that be above the heavens." Our listener asked a question. Our listener, her name's Liz, asked a question, and she said that she was reading through the Psalms, and she saw this, and she had a link to an article that she read where she had Googled the term water in space, and she wanted to know if she was on the right page or wrong page in regards to this. And this article that she sent me was headlined, "Scientists Discover the Oldest, Largest Body of Water in Existence in Space." And I'll just gloss through this real quick. This is what she was asking about. Could this be the waters above? This reservoir of water that they found out in space is surrounding a black hole. And without getting into all the details on how they found it, they said that this water that they found, a reservoir, is so large that it could provide water for every person on Earth, an entire planet's worth of water, 20,000 times over. That's, in other words, if you took all the water that's in the entire world and you multiplied that by the population of the planet, which I think is what, some 7 billion people, and another 20,000 times over to get to the amount of water that they found here. And this is, I guess the NASA news release estimated 140 trillion times all the water in all of the Earth's oceans. Just an absolutely mind-numbing volume of water. Another way of looking at it is if you calculated all the water that they believe may be on one estimate inside of the Milky Way galaxy, that would be 28 times that amount. However it is, that's a big number, isn't it? It's a lot of water, a lot more water than we'll ever need. But the idea with this, the question is, our listener Liz asked the question, could this be what the Bible is referring to here in Psalm 148 when it says here in verse 4, "Praise him, ye heavens of heavens, and ye waters that be above the heavens." And this would certainly be above our heaven, wouldn't it?
It sure would.
And Paul, in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 2, I believe he's talking about himself, but he said, "I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell, God knoweth, such an one caught up to the third heaven." That gives us the third heaven being where God is, the spiritual realm, and then the other two heavens would be the Earth's atmosphere, would be the first heaven. The second heaven would be space, and that's where this one would be, way out in space. Now, this is inside of space, which would be inside of the second heaven. So it really wouldn't be above the heaven of the heavens. And there's some indication that that term heaven of the heavens would indicate space rather than where God is. In fact, in 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 27 says, "But will God indeed dwell on the earth? Behold, the heaven and the heaven of heavens cannot contain thee, how much less this house that I have builded." And that's what Solomon's talking about when he's going to dedicate the new temple. And he's talking about the earth and all that surrounds the earth, which would be the first heaven, the atmosphere, and the heaven of heavens, which would be outer space. See, a lot of people think that the universe contains God, but the universe is actually contained within God. And so I did a little look into this and trying to find out the heaven of the heavens here and what exactly we might make it out to be. And C.H. Spurgeon, Charles Spurgeon, probably one of the best-known preachers of the 1800s, one of the best-known preachers since the Apostle Paul, he had made some comments on this. And in his comments, he said that the ancients believed that the universe basically was surrounded by a large ocean, which is kind of interesting. And some commentators believe that when God created the universe, that the heavens above that we read about over in the Genesis account of creation, in Genesis chapter 1, verse 7, "God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so." And, you know, of course, we have the clouds in the sky, but some people believe that the actual universe that God created is surrounded by some kind of a watery shell. When I do these things, I have all these papers in front of me, and I got to kind of sum up some things to make this kind of quick here. But I saw something that made a little diagram, and they suggested that the waters above the firmament, which would be the waters that be above the heavens, would be kind of a boundary or a container that the entire universe is contained within. And they made a very interesting, I guess you could call it conjecture, but in Revelation chapter 4, when John is caught up into heaven before the throne of God, the Bible says there was a sea of glass in Revelation 4, verse 6, like unto crystal, and in the midst of the throne, round about the throne, were four beasts full of eyes before and behind it. And this particular commentator speculated that sea of glass, like crystal, would be like an icy shell of water that perhaps contained the entire universe. If you could imagine the picture, and I'm not saying that this is so, but it's interesting to think about, God sitting on his throne and at his feet, this crystalline sea of glass containing the entire universe that we know. That's kind of interesting to speculate about, isn't it?
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And it kind of makes you understand them a little bit when he says here in Psalm 148, verse 4, "Praise him, ye heavens of heavens, and ye waters that be above the heavens." And I think that would entail all of that which is within the created universe, as well as that which is around the throne of God. They're looking, if indeed this commentator is correct, that sea of crystal, that crystalline sea, is the watery ice shell that surrounds the universe, and all the angels that you see pictured in Revelation chapter 4 that are praising God.
We used to sing that song, "I Won't Have to Cross Jordan Alone." Do you think it's talking about going through that, you know, massive amount of water?
That's an interesting thought, because we see that quite a bit, don't we? On Jordan's stormy banks I stand and cast a wistful eye. And we talk about going through the waters, and remember Bunyan in his great book, Pilgrim's Progress. Remember, before they went into the celestial city, they crossed the river. And if you think of the picture of going from the wilderness into the promised land, they had to cross the Jordan, didn't they? And you could even look at the idea that in order to leave Egypt, they had to cross the Red Sea. So we have this picture of crossing a sea, don't we? Somebody also observed that if you think of the temple, they had the big sea. Remember that Solomon put on the 12 oxen made of brass, and there was the large sea that we talked about in one of these science segments. And you had to offer up the sacrifice, and then you had to pass by the sea before you could go into the temple, the holy place of the temple. And then beyond that, of course, the Holy of Holies. So you do have this interesting symbology throughout the Bible of crossing through the water to get to where God is.
Yeah, I remember that song. It says, "I won't have to cross Jordan alone. Jesus died all my sins to atone. The darkness I see, he'll be waiting for me. I won't have to cross Jordan alone."